guys, and welcome to episode 14 of Trust in the Process with myself, Deborah Chosen. Today's episode is going to be a juicy one. I can guarantee that because today's the first time that I have like one of my closest friends on the podcast, actually. So I'm really, really excited to have this conversation today. Dorothy is here and she is raring to go. Raring to go. But we're going to have a really, really good conversation. How are you feeling?
Good. Really happy to be on Trust in the Process. Aww. Finally.
This is so comfy for me.
Everybody else but me. Wow.
Wow.
She started off by saying, oh yeah, my really close friend. I'm thinking, but...
if I was, then why have I not been? Listen, Linda, listen. There's a process to what I do and the way that I do it.
And you have to trust the process.
Exactly. And your time will come. And now it's here. Praise God, hallelujah, amen. So before we actually get into introducing you formally and having our full conversation, as usual, general announcements up and through here. First and foremost, if you guys are not already, then make sure to subscribe to my mailing list. Join the TTP tribe for real, for real. You're not really, really, really fam unless you're getting my weekly letter. So definitely subscribe. You can do that by following the link in the description of this episode. You can also check me out on Instagram at Deborah Chosen. Also, I've announced it previously, but we officially have our own Instagram page now as well.
Oh my God!
So Trust in the Process Pod is the Instagram page where you can hear more, see more stories from the podcast. So make sure to go over there and follow us there as well. And you can also sign up to the mailing list there as well. So the last one that went out, I had a lot of really, really positive feedback on. And you know, when you're like kind of going through something and you know that you're not the only person that's in that sort of space. So I wrote about the in-between season and being in a season where you feel like you're kind of on the verge of something great, but you're not quite there yet. And the feedback was crazy. And I just want to thank every single person that kind of sent me a message, said that's blessed them in any kind of way. If you do want to get the next one, then again, make sure to subscribe. In the course of this conversation that we're about to go into, if you hear anything that you love and you just want to join the conversation, then make sure to share any comments online using the hashtag TTP podcast. Also, make sure to at me again at Deborah Chosen and at Trust in the Process Pod. But without further ado, I think we just go and dive right in. How you feel, girl?
Good.
Yes. Thank you for having me, by the way.
Thanks for having me. Gosh.
I guess I kind of have you. Yeah, I'm in your house, but I have you. I get that. Okay, so of course I know you, Dorothy. But for the people that are listening, I think it would be really good for us to just start with you introducing yourself. Tell me a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
I'm Dorothy Tamino.
Formerly known as
Dorothy Ogini.
A lot can change in
a year. No, I kept the same Insta and Twitter name. I didn't add my surname on it.
Why is that? Because it's long.
Yeah, it's fully long. It's so long. And like, I've been tagged like so many places. I didn't want to lose, do you know what I mean?
The
lose
clout.
My trail.
Yeah.
I need the clout. Kept it the same.
Okay. So tell us a bit about what you do.
So I run a business called Social Media Live. In fact, me and my husband run it together, and it's like digital marketing, content creation, anything creative that's online, we do. Mm-hmm. Also do websites, also do design. We also like style people's websites, which is really cool as well. Mm. So like, if you've got one already,
yeah,
we'll like revamp it and restyle it and
dope.
Make it all like cool and quirky.
Yeah.
I personally do photography.
Okay.
It's more of a hobby than a job. So I picked it up like two to three years ago.
Okay.
And literally I borrowed my sister's camera. So mm-hmm. I haven't actually owned a camera until like a few months ago. It was always my sister's. And then also Paul of Method Studios.
Yes.
So I was about to say his old business name.
Yeah, me too. I was like, Peter Sines.
Peter Sines,
yeah.
Yeah.
Formerly known as.
Yeah, Method Film, Method Studios.
Yes.
God bless him, wherever he is. He like taught me everything I know as well.
Really? Yeah. From one of the greats. Like,
yeah. I was his apprentice for very long.
Humble intern.
So, yeah, been doing that for a few years and it's looking great so far.
Amazing. Wow. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how we first met. Because I don't know if you remember. I honestly actually really remember our very first meeting. But when I think, this is great. We just.
But I remember why we became friends.
Okay.
Because of these boys.
Oh, yeah.
because of these boys.
These boys that were just together. Chasing. It's
so sickening.
It's actually disgusting when I think back to it. So we met in university, for those that are wondering. So obviously I went to the University of Leicester and you went to De Montfort. So it was through church, really and truly, I think, that we met. We were both going to a Redeemed Church at the time called City Favour. Shout out to them if anyone from there is listening. And all I remember is my first kind of identity of who Dorothy is was my choir leader and this girl that I really wanted to know, but I was like, oh, but she's the choir leader, so like, can I cross over from her being that to her being my friend? And I can't remember when.
I think I invited you to where I was living
I think Athena times. I must have come around to your flat. Then I think you cooked lasagna and there's a wrap from there. Lasagna, by the way, guys, is our term of endearment for lasagna. But yeah, and then it was a wrap from there. But so looking at kind of how you've grown from since I met you, and you know, we've been friends for how many years now? Basically since we graduated, which would have been like 2011-2012. A lot has changed. One of the big reasons why I really obviously wanted to have you on this podcast today is to talk about your career, because it's been such a huge transformation. A lot of people see you on the gram, you know, kind of doing photo shoot here, traveling for New York Fashion Week there. And a lot of what you do looks really, really exciting, and people can see the courage that's kind of behind everything that you're doing. You know, being a woman who's going alone at building her own business is a big thing, and something that I think is worth talking about. So I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about giving people real insight into what it is that you do, what that looks like as a normal day to day, because I think there's the highlight reel and then there's the reality. So what has kind of running the business in terms of social media live and doing photography, what does that normally look like on a normal day to day?
Yeah, I guess I could probably give like a view of like an actual day. So basically, like being a freelancer, of course, you have to manage your time, you have to manage your diary, and you also have to manage like how much money comes in as well. Yeah. So those three things is literally what I do like every single day. I try to make more money. I try to manage the ones that I have, right, the clients that I have right now. Yeah. And I try to create. So that's like photography, posting on social media for clients. Mm-hmm. So I'll wake up in the morning like really late. Like I should get up around like 8:30. I get up around like 10:30 and I say a quick prayer, read the word as well, get my daily dose. Mm-hmm. Then literally straight after that, I'm like replying DMs. So anybody that's messaged about like photography, I might get messages about people wanting their social media managed as well.
Okay.
I don't really push that side.
I was going to say, yeah, what's
it's actually
the
bulk of my business.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, what is the kind of the percentage split right now? Because, of course, you have the social media side, but then you also do photography. So what, in terms of, like, the business, where would you say kind of your attention is spread right now?
I think there's actually more attention on social media management and web development. More than anything else.
Really?
Yeah, that is the bulk of our business right at the moment. And most of our clients like have that service.
Okay.
But besides April, I did like a massive deal on like photography. And let me tell the truth, I only did it because I wanted to raise money to go to Nigeria. I wanted to like
GoFundMe.
Yeah, I wanted to go to Nigeria so badly with my husband. So we were like, how can we, you know, we just
raise some extra cash.
Yeah, raise some extra cash. So we just like came up with this idea to do like a £50 deal. All we needed was 10 people to make £1,000.
Sure.
Sorry, 20 people.
Yeah.
So we aimed for 20 and then we got 35. And literally it was just, I was just way out of my depth, man.
Wow.
Like, I was like, yeah, I can do this. By the end of April, I was like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah, if you watch my latest YouTube video called I'm Tired, But I Grind Till I Own It.
Okay, yes.
Most of those clips was me like in between photo shoots in April, all 35. And then on top of the 35, I had pre-booked ones. So about 40 shoots in April.
Okay.
It's me just literally like, I can't deal. My knees are done. Literally, my knees were so swollen that I couldn't walk one day and I had to cancel all my photo shoots. Yeah, it was actually last Saturday.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really, really tough, but it just made me, especially watching the Beyonce thing. So I've gone totally off topic.
No, continue. But we spoke about this though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded us that
definitely
we need to grind in this life.
Listen.
Yeah.
Like people are like, oh, I even got some DMs being like, oh, are you Beyonce fan? I thought you were Christian, that kind of thing. I'm sorry. I've learned so much from watching that documentary. It was a lot of dancing, but just the work ethic, like the drive, the determination.
Yeah.
And I have Christ.
Yes.
So why is my drive rock bottom?
Yeah.
Why am I not motivated to do anything right now? Like it has, I had to flip the script. Like I was like, she is a human being. She came out into this world like I did as well. But I have an upper hand. I've got the power of God on my side. Yes, so I'm going to smash everything.
Yes. Amen.
So I literally just like changed my mentality towards so many things just by watching that. So yeah, anyway,
so
back
since
to
then,
the topic.
So we've had loads of shoots.
Yeah.
Loads of shoots. And then you said kind of the majority of what you do really is the social media management, website development and whatnot. Now, one of the things I find super interesting about you, right? And so anytime anyone asks me about Dot, because you might not know, but every now and then I get DMs about you and I'm like, ah, is she my bae? Like, I don't understand. Ask her, ask Precious, ask her husband.
Are you being for real?
Yeah, like,
because... What do people say?
People be like, you know your friend Dot, yeah? I'm like, yeah. Like, how much does she charge for a shoe? And I'm always like, you know what? Yeah, you're going to have to ask her still. Obviously, you know, like...
Do you know those kind
friends.
Of DMs, yeah?
Yeah?
I wish I got those DMs like back in the day, like, oh, you know your friend Dot, like, is she single?
What's she saying?
Can I have her number kind of thing? I never got that. And that's why I was single for like 15 years.
But it's okay because you get the business ones now and you have the husband.
Yeah.
So jokes on them. Literally. But whenever anyone kind of asks me about you or you come up as a topic of conversation, people are always talking about how talented you are, especially in terms of photography. Now, I think why a lot of us that follow you on the gram would maybe be under the impression that photography is the bulk of what you do is because obviously Instagram is visual. It's arguably a lot easier to show someone some selects from your photo shoot than a website you've done, social media you've managed, etc. So with everyone kind of hyping you, there's always this thing that I remember you saying, or there's always this thing that I say. I'm always like, yeah, she's sick. I'm like, you know, she taught herself. Because people are like, oh, wow, she's been doing this for ages. And not in a derogatory way, in a like, that's how sick she is, that she was able to kind of build this for herself. And I was like, yeah, like, Dorothy hasn't always done this, but you literally, I remember you saying to me years ago, I think it was when you were planning Make His Name Known, I'm not sure which is a gospel event that you put on at one point, but I remember you saying that there's nothing that you can't do, like you basically believe that you can do anything if you put your mind to it because you have Christ. So with everything that you do now, what I find amazing is that the photography, all this stuff, yes, okay, you learned from Paul, God bless his soul, but a lot of stuff in between I'm sure you had to teach yourself. So tell me what that process was like, learning all of these things, and how have you got to a stage that you're confidently doing wedding shoots? Like, for me, a photo shoot is one thing, but like, you're shooting someone's big day. What's that process look like for you?
Yeah. As you said, I have always been, not always been, I take that back, in the past few years, especially when I quit my job 4 years ago, I've been, I've had to talk to myself like a lot. I've had to like motivate myself. Again, being a freelancer, you have to set your own time, your own deadlines, etc. So I've had to pep talk myself a lot, and I've had to really like dive into the word as well to really understand like who I am and what I, the power that I possess. So in times of doubt, I can always remember like what I've learned through the word, what I've learned through talking to older people as well, people that have gone before me. So kind of like, I had to, it was almost like putting like a really small fish in a big sea, and you have to swim, otherwise you're going to sink. And this whole creative industry and the work that I do, if you don't like float to the top, if you don't throw yourself out there, you know, this is what I do. Look at the picture I took, you know, look at the, you know, video that I try to shoot, even though I don't do videos, you know, if you don't throw your services out there, you will sink, and you will sink into a sea of basically so many other creatives that are trying to do the same thing. So you mentioned confidence. The confidence came from, it had to start from me. Like I had to really like remove every insecurity, every like fear, low self-esteem, blah, 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 and just like really go for it. So after I dealt with myself, and I guess dealing with yourself like never really stops as well. Like So many things could be thrown your way. You don't even realize sometimes you might have like things underlying. Mm. Anyway, that's another story. So once I kind of like worked on myself, I then started to work on my skills.
Okay.
And I was like, so I have a vision for, you know, doing social media management, creative work, photography, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But I don't actually know how to do it right now. So I had to like go on YouTube. I just researched like everything. And what I also did was I was still taking jobs, not knowing how to do something. So it's so funny because one of my clients said to me, he was like, oh, Dorothy, do you remember when we first started working together 2 years ago, you didn't know how to do WordPress, basically. Oh, wow. WordPress,
yeah,
development.
Yeah, yeah.
And he asked me, why did you tell me you could do it?
why did you lie to me?
Yeah, it was like only like a year later I said to him, look, I never actually knew how to do the job, but when you said that this is what you needed, I said, yeah, I can do it. And I went to go and teach myself. And he was like, why did you say that? And I was just like, firstly, I believe that I can do anything.
Wow.
It doesn't mean that you can do it right now. I believe that I eventually will be able to do it.
Yeah,
and like, you know, the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes. So if that's the case, let me just try it. Let me learn it.
Yeah, what's the
you
series?
Know? Yeah. Yeah, even like this like new device that you have here. I would have to say this.
you can.
Even this new device that we have here, it was like, we looked at each other and was like, how do we even use a mic recorder?
Yeah.
Like, it's got all these little knoblets.
Yeah, and digits and stuff.
Yeah, it's just so confusing. Yeah.
And you literally said, you were like, go to YouTube.
Yeah, I was like, go to YouTube. YouTube did it.
Boom.
Here we are. That's it, here we are. We're recording. Do you know what I mean? And so many things work out that way. Like, I'm just a really firm believer that anything you put your mind to, like, you can accomplish, but you have to put your mind to it first.
That's a bit nice.
But that's why I said I had to really deal with myself first, because what happens is, so you have the potential to do anything. Your mind will tell you that you can't do anything. So you have to unlearn everything that you know, unlearn all your fears, unlearn all your doubts, all your anxieties, everything. And then once you deal with yourself, that's when you can go into the realm of I can do anything.
What did unlearning your fears look like for you though? Like, how do you know what I mean? Because you know when we hear this, okay, you have to divorce yourself from negative thoughts, you have to divorce yourself from your childhood, from da 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 da, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
What did doing the work look like for you in terms of unlearning all of these kind of negative perspectives? How did you, what did that look like, really? Was it prayer? Was it like talking to yourself?
Definitely a lot of talking to yourself. Yeah. A lot. Like, you know, even a fear could sink in. Okay, for example, the same example is the mic recorder thing. And by the way, guys, this was like 15 minutes ago.
By the way.
15 minutes ago, we learned how to use this device. Yeah. You know, like, you could stop at the fear of, I don't know how to do this. I guess the only way to, like, it's a lie, right? The only way to unlearn a lie is to tell yourself the truth, isn't it? So you have to keep filling yourself with the truth. So I watched like loads and loads, not just, by the way, tutorials of how to do things. I watched loads of YouTube videos on people talking about like fear, especially like Stephen Furtick. He talks like loads about that.
I love him.
Joyce Meyer. So many different people. Even I went as deep as like Paul Washer. Like, do you know what I mean?
You know you've got a real problem on your hands when you reach for Paul.
You know, just really like learning about the truth, truth, which is the word of God, and what God has to say about my life. Then also like a lot of motivational things, like who's like really motivational, like,
I find TD Jakes
definitely. Definitely, you know, just absorbing like what they're saying, because they've done so much research as well, and they've been through so much in their lives, and they've come out the other end to say like, look, this is true. The word of God is actually true, and we believe it, and you should believe it too. So I spend a lot of my time like watching and observing and listening. I listen to like besides like Christian podcasts, I listen to Shopify.
Okay.
The Shopify podcast.
There's a Shopify podcast. Sick.
No, listen.
Really?
Listen, yeah, you need to get
Shopify, the app that people use to do e-commerce.
It's the best podcast I've heard.
Wow.
Do you know why? Because they pick out all the most successful platforms on Shopify. Sorry, people on Shopify.
Okay.
and they interview them and they say, how did you make your millions?
Oh, I see.
And the person will actually tell you, I contacted X. They'll give you names. They'll give you nitty-gritty details in order, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so again, it's like, these are like ordinary people that have made like millions on Shopify. But again, it gives me the courage to be like, I can do this too.
Okay.
If they can, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So many people will come on the podcast and be like, oh yeah, I started off with like 1p and now I have like £1 million in my bank account. And it's like, I have 1p too.
I can relate.
Yeah. I have 1p too. Yeah. Now tell me how I can multiply it. Yes. And they actually do. So again, it's just like, really learning. Knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is
key.
Major power. I don't read.
Yeah.
That's my only downfall.
Got you.
I don't read, but I listen. I watch and I listen. Yeah.
So the thing is, Dorothy, who does social media and does photography and builds websites, we are very familiar with her right now. But that hasn't always necessarily been the case, in that once upon a time, this wasn't what you did. You know, you kind of alluded to it earlier before you said, you know, you quit your job about 4 years ago. Let's talk a little bit about what that was, okay? Let's talk a bit about life before Dorothy, who works for herself. Because I don't think a lot of people kind of know the full story. I think some people know loosely. She used to work in the corporate scene. What did you do, and what led you to the point that you decided, I'm just going to do me, I'm going to work for myself?
Because
I think so many people are in roles right now, and it's absolutely, I want to make it super clear, there's absolutely nothing wrong with a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because I think that sometimes people can be very kind of this or that. It's like, you're either a creative or you're stuck in a 9-to-5, you know, and the both can coexist. But there are some people who are in 9-to-5s and they're dreaming of building their own thing, they're dreaming of doing their own thing, but it's not an easy transition to make, it's not an easy jump to make. So tell me about what you were doing when you were working previously and how you kind of made that leap.
So I was working for a company called Deloitte, and I started in Deloitte in 2012. And by the time I left, it was 2015. So when I was in Deloitte, I was promoted twice, I think. So I started off as just like a normal admin assistant. And then I got made like a, what do you call it? Like a supervisor of a team.
Okay.
And then I was made like a project assistant to the overall project manager or whatever. So that was, it was a step higher to what I was doing before.
Okay.
And
is finance something you had studied? Sorry, just to give a bit more context in terms of how you'd even ended up at Deloitte. What had you studied previously?
I studied business and management.
Okay.
Before I did business management, I did accounting and finance, but it wasn't really working out, so I changed to business and management.
Got you.
So yeah, I was at Deloitte for like 3 years, and I was kind of like moving up the ladder. So one day, my manager said to me... So this was like the second time I was promoted. So this is when within like almost three years. My manager at the time said to me, this is as high as you can go. You won't be able to progress like any higher than this. And I was just like, do you know who I am? I'm a child of God.
I reject you in the name of Jesus.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And God bless my mum as well. My mum is actually the one that drummed it in my mind that I can also do anything.
Wow.
She never, anything I said that I wanted to do, my mum was like, go for it. I know you can do it. She always encouraged me because I love her so much.
We love you,
You know, so coming from like so much encouragement growing up, for someone to tell me that I can't do something, it was like a slap in the face. So I actually wanted to prove him wrong. And like, I think if I would stay there, I definitely would have like proven him wrong anyway. But me leaving wasn't being like, okay, like I have the upper hand, you know, I'm going to go and start my own thing and, you know, prove them all wrong. I wanted to prove them wrong by like saying that, okay, I'm on about 28K. I'm going to work so hard. I'm going to make more money than this. And eventually, like, I'm going to make more money than you.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
And you truly believed this?
I believed it. I didn't doubt one day that it was impossible to get there. So I left there in February 2015.
Okay. So just before you left, what were you thinking in your, like, where did the confidence to leave come from? What do you feel that God was saying about the situation at the time?
So I didn't have a plan to leave as well. Did I say before, like a second ago, that I... Okay.
Let's go back. I need you to give them the real, real.
Yeah. So I had like an it was February 2015. In January 2015, I had an event called Make His Name Known, and it was like an outreach event to draw people to Christ. And after doing that event, I felt like throughout the whole process of doing the event, I felt like I was really hearing God's voice, and God was like, "Oh, do this, do that," towards the event, and I was doing it, and I was like, "Wow!" Like, we're seeing like amazing things happen, and I really saw God move. And it was when I took, you know, a step of obedience, it made a lot of sense, you know. So I felt like, if I can have so much obedience towards this whole event, why can't I translate that onto my whole life, like every area of my life? And after that, I remember saying to God, like, I really want to like listen to exactly what you want me to do from now on. I don't want to do things my own way.
Very bold thing to say.
Yeah.
To God, yeah.
I felt like I was almost like, I was a Christian, but I felt like I was officially signing my life over. And it was very satisfying. I felt like I finally have a sense of purpose. Not, oh, my purpose is now to do more events. No. My purpose is just to hear God's voice and act on it. Do what he wants me to do. So that was, let's say, a Saturday night. By Monday, when I got into work, I remember it was the 1st of February, I sat in my chair in the morning, and I, you know those bendy chairs? I just leant all the way back. I looked up in the ceiling, and I heard God say to me, "It's time for you to leave." I was like, okay, all right. This act of obedience thing, let's just talk about it.
Let's pull this back a little bit. Like,
it's really in. So I was like, oh, kind of like battling with myself, like a few minutes. I was like, oh my gosh, like, did I actually just hear this? And I heard it again. And then I just literally got up from my chair. I called my mom. I was like, "Mom, I feel like it's time for me to leave this job." She's like, "Ah, you can't leave all the money, this and that and the other. They just promoted you." They literally promoted me about a month before. So it was all just brand new. Yeah, I was so certain that this is what I heard. And then after the conversation, Mum was like, "Do you know what? If God is actually telling you this, go for it." Again, my mom's just such an encourager. Wow. She's like, "Go for it. If this is what you believe, go for it." So
at this point, with no plan B,
no. Wow. Okay. So I just went back to my desk. I wrote an email. I said, "Hi, this is my letter of resignation." They were like, "What?" Because again, it was so random.
You just been promoted,
I just They never expected it. Like,
and you didn't even expect it.
I didn't expect it either.
So you hadn't, correct me if I'm wrong, you hadn't have had feelings of dissatisfaction in the job at this point, or were you feeling like did you see this coming, in the sense that were you a bit unhappy with the job?
I was uncomfortable. Were you feeling restless? I was feeling restless. Okay. Yeah, definitely uncomfortable in the job, but I couldn't explain why.
Yeah.
So when on that day, like, it made a lot of sense, because I was probably like on my way out, kind of thing. But the thing is, I wasn't acting like I was on my way out.
Okay.
I was acting like I was, you know, really in this job. Like, yeah, I'm even ready to be promoted again, even though someone said that I couldn't be promoted again. But you know, so that happened, and a month passed. I gave them 4 weeks' notice. End of February, I remember on the last day, I was in the bathroom crying, because I was like, "God, like, is this really you? Like, did you actually tell me to do this?" And then again, I just like felt so much peace. Like, yeah, this is right. So left now, woke up the next day, which is Saturday. And then I was just like, what do I do?
So this is now your first day of freedom, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Of unemployed life.
Yeah.
With no plan.
No plan.
Really.
So Saturday, Sunday passed. Then Monday, I woke up. I still can't remember what was a dream or vision, but I clearly saw myself doing what I'm doing today. I saw myself like helping people with their social media. Not really the photography. That's quite a new thing.
Okay.
But I saw myself being creative and all overall just helping people online. So I remember that same day, the Monday, I went out to take pictures of myself, because at that time I wanted to be a blogger, right? I had a blog.
We remember. What was the blog called again? Was it tartans.com?
Sing Dorothy.
Remember Sing Dorothy?
Yeah.
Gosh, girl, you've been doing this for a while.
I know, right? Listen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to lie, some quotes I use on Instagram and Twitter are just quotes from my old blog. Because I haven't really got time to be thinking anymore. I literally just...
Have fresh content for you guys. No, I'm sorry. I'm going back
I actually go back to my old blog. It's so old. It even takes about a minute to load on the internet.
Come on. Give me the caption for the picture.
So yeah, that day I went out with my friend Ayo. Shout out to Ayo.
Oh, Ayo was a guest on the show as well. Shout out to them.
Oh, Ayo's been a real G man since day one, man. But that day he was taking pictures of me. So we're in London. So we're standing in front of a door. You know when you take pictures in front of a house here?
As we all do.
But it was like a kind of like an industrial kind of building. Anyway, okay. So we're standing in front of it and he was taking pictures of me.
Okay.
And then the person who owned the place opened the door. So I'm standing in front of the door and a door opens behind me. And I turned around, I was like, hi. And they were like, what are you doing here? And he was like, oh, sorry, just taking pictures for my blog. Then he was like, no, what are you actually doing? And we're like, it's just pictures for blog. And he was like, oh, you guys bloggers? And I was like, well, yeah, I am. And he was like, oh, come inside. And
we're
like,
what?
Okay. So we go inside, yeah, and then it's like a massive factory. They're like manufacturing clothes. Apparently they manufacture clothes for like brands and Selfridges and all that stuff.
Oh my god.
And he was like, yeah, I'm so glad you're here because I've been looking for like bloggers to manage my social media and my blog. And then I was like, I can do that. Again, here's me.
Exactly.
I've never done this before. Like, just about managing my own blog, which was so dead at the time. You know, I was like, yeah, I can do this. Like, and then
you literally were talking the talk.
Yeah, I was talking the talk. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I can do this. I can do that for you. Then he goes, oh, great. Write me a proposal. So I wrote a full proposal that night. You know, I CC'd Ayo in it. I was like, Ayo can do the pictures. I can do the whole website thing, blah, blah, blah. The guy never replied us.
Oh.
We sent it and he never replied.
How
up till,
dare
he? Imagine 40 to today. 4 years later.
He probably can't afford you anymore anyway, so don't worry. The price is too high.
I surpassed his budget. But doing that, I then used that template of the email sent him and I thought, I'm sure other people would need what he needs.
Yes.
I'm sure there's so many businesses out there
that
they, you know, they have a great business, but they don't have social media.
Mm-hmm.
And having social media, it's a form of marketing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I started like sending all these emails out to different companies. I'd randomly would, you know, find a random company on Twitter that has like one follower, but they're like a well-known company.
Okay.
So for example, I found an airline that had like 10 followers.
that's not even a cabin crew.
I think it was like Arik Airways. So
oh, wow. Are you going to name and shame?
I'm sorry, Arik. I'm sorry. But yeah, like I found like an airline that had like so low followers. I was like, I can help you get your followers up. I can post for you.
So how did you DM them?
I DM'd them. Yeah.
Continue.
Then they never replied.
Okay. That's fine.
That's fine. God bless them.
It's part of the process.
So, so I, you know, contacting those companies and a few did reply. So a few got back to me and said, yeah, would love to work with you. Let's start off with one post a day and see how it goes. Was doing that for a few months or a few companies. And that's where it started.
And now we're here.
And I've since then, I got to work with like X Factor groups, Britain's Got Talents groups.
The New York Fashion Week.
New York Fashion Week. Big companies, small companies, like, yeah, everything.
Wow. So when you look back, what do you credit your journey to? Like, if you can put it down to one thing, person, any, what do you really, what would you say?
Definitely the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, just listening, like I was saying, just solely, just 100% saying, okay, God, like, I want you to really take control of my life. I want you to direct me. Like, I want you to tell me what to wear. I want you to, do you know what I mean? Just every
even
area.
The minor details.
The minor details. Because even, like, let's say, for example, you say, oh, God says, oh, wear that purple top. And you see someone outside, it's like, oh, I love your purple top. And a conversation starts.
That leads to a job. Or,
do you know that's happened to me before?
Really?
So many random things have happened. Like, but it's only through being like, okay, God, like, I'm going to say yes to you every single minute of the day.
Obedience,
I'm not saying that I'm always 100% obedient.
Yeah,
sometimes I want things my own way.
Yes, of course.
In fact, most of the times I want things my own way.
We always do. Really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But every single time that I've said yes to God, like, it's only worked out for me.
Amen. I love that. There's a phrase that I love, right, by Maya Angelou, and it says this: success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it. And it got me thinking. I think I probably had it last year for the first time, and it really got me thinking about those different areas. So, liking myself, liking what it is that I do, and liking how I do it. I think one of the things that people tend to desire from entrepreneurship is that you can control what you do and how you do it, right? It's you saying, this is what I'm passionate about, this is what I believe I'm good at, and I'm going to do it, and I can also do it how I want to do it. I can, if I want to work with non-profit organizations, I can do that. If I want to work with women, I can do that. If I want to work with Christians, I can do that, whatever it might be. So looking at the fact that you've now built something for yourself that has worked for 4 years, which is amazing, what would you say that you enjoy the most about being able to do the work that you do the way that you do it?
Yeah, I think it's the freedom, and definitely the creative freedom is one. Just being able to be like, you know, someone giving you control over, for example, a photo shoot, and be like, do you know what, I trust your judgment. I trust your creative skills. Just do something for me. Basically, that's what I really love about it. And in being with, you know, someone that you've never met, maybe someone you've met on Instagram, and you meet them in real life, you get to find out where they're coming from, what their stories are. And I can use my story to encourage them and be like, oh, do you know what, I can see you're trying to start this blogger thing. I started from scratch, and you know, I've totally been there, and some things worked out, some things don't work out, but you know, I can really like encourage people, and I feel like I've come into myself when beyond the camera, beyond the social media manager or whatever, beyond being the working Dorothy, the real Dorothy comes out in those moments as well, and that's what I really, really enjoy. And I think lastly, doing it with building something with my husband as well. That's really, really cool. We'll probably get into that later.
We're definitely going to get into that. It's like you read my mind. But just before we get into that, so we've spoken about the transition really from Dorothy that works at Deloitte, but Dorothy that works at Deloitte, easily amused, Dorothy that works at Deloitte to being able to run your own business and being able to sustain that for 4 years. So that's one type of transition. I want to talk for a second about a slightly different type of transition, and that's in the realms of relationship, right? Because like you said, really the crux of our friendship was around boys and was around failed relationships, tears, pay, and whatever we were going through at university. But we now sit here today and you're a married woman, right?
To the glory of the Lord.
And I know why you say that, because the journey has not been easy. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Maybe it's selfish. What I think is really fun about your story of how you met your husband is that I played some sort of role in it.
Go on, tell him.
You know, I've been itching to tell this story. But do you agree with me, though? Some sort of role.
Yes, okay, definitely.
All right. So who wants to tell the story?
You go.
Okay, cool. So your husband, who's called Precious, by the way, Precious Tamina. So we essentially were at a mutual friend's wedding, which ironically was Ayo's as well. Shout out to Ayo again. Ayo and Susan. Hey, y'all. So in the course of the wedding, there was a game which the wedding host, who was A-Dot, the comedian, decided to play.
You're supposed to do one, two things. Yeah. But because of arrogance and pride, because they are wondering what people are going to say, they didn't come out. But my sister, you shall be well with you.
The crux of the game basically was that one person had to come to the front, one woman, to sit down and basically be wooed by three different men who were going to give three different chat-up lines. Now, I remember when A-Dot shouted out, who wants to come? In his real accent, who wants to come? Who wants to come?
Remembering that this is your own destiny alone. Nobody will share your husband.
And he was looking around the room. I was this close to going and being the person that sits down. And I said to myself, no, I just feel like I'm always at the center of attention with these kind of games because I'm quite extroverted. So it's not every day. Just lay low at this wedding. Something told me lay low, you know. That was for you, because nothing ever tells me to lay low. I'm always high.
You better shine, girl.
Girl. So anyway, so I was like, nah, let me not. And I remember looking to Dorothy. And you were kind of umming and ahhing about going, I think.
Yeah.
And I remember you were like, oh, I don't know, should I? And then my final words, all I remember is I said, do it for the culture.
Yeah, those were the final words.
I said, do it for the culture, and you leapt up and you went to go and sit down.
Okay, my sister. Now, what is going to happen now, my sister? You will give everybody your name, then we will continue.
Obviously, in the course of playing this game, one of the people that came to offer a chat-up line was your now husband. So he essentially practiced moving to you and then actually moved to you, like, technically speaking. Yeah. But we'll go into that story another day, because even how you became one is a biggie. But what I really want to kind of deal with is people love a good wedding, right? People loved your wedding. I loved your wedding. I was a part of it, obviously. Oh. It was beautiful. But I want to deal with kind of the wedding planning period. Okay, so let's take our minds back to Dorothy that was planning the wedding and that season when you're preparing for marriage. Is there anything, when you look back, is there anything that you miss about that season? Anything from that season of preparation that you miss?
No.
Not a single thing?
No, not a thing.
Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
So I really liked your build up. I'm just waiting to say no. No. Not a single thing.
Talk to me about that. Why?
It was really, really hard. Mm-hmm. It was really hard. I can't even go into detail, like, everything that happened. But, like, it's really stretched me. Mm-hmm. It really, like, became, like, really confrontational. Mm-hmm. Like, do you have a problem with me? Why do you have a problem with me? I'm not the confrontation type at all.
Yeah.
I would look someone in the eye and start arguing with them. And that is not me.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I think some people would say, oh, maybe it was you deep down. No, it's not me. Mm. But it was like, I felt like I was like fighting for survival.
Goodness me.
At one point I said to someone, I was like, are we planning a funeral or a wedding? Because why is there so much
grief in the air?
I just Goodness. Don't understand. It was really difficult, but in hindsight, it was obviously like the enemy doesn't want you
to prosper.
He doesn't want you to marry. He doesn't want God's will to be done. Mm. So he'll do everything to stop it. And I felt like Satan was just like Thor. What's his name?
Are you really going to do an end game?
Satan was Thanos to me. Like, he was so determined to shut the whole thing. He was determined to click his fingers and the whole thing is shut down. Like... Like, yeah, but basically we won endgame.
Shut down.
We won.
Party done.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, do you know what's funny? When I think back to that season, obviously I was just, you know, the role that I played in that season was being your friend, of course, and I was also a bridesmaid. But I remember even me and you, in that time, we would talk about the difficulties of it. And one of the hardest things, I think, for you at the time was navigating your friendships and your relationships and maybe expectations around that. You know, I always hear that when people get married, they often say that it's when they're preparing for marriage that they really see their friendships for what they are. They see their relationships in a slightly different light. For some people, it's a trigger for them to start to even reevaluate kind of their friendships. Looking back, what would you say the process taught you about friendship? Were there any hard lessons there? Because I can imagine that, you know, when you have a certain expectation and maybe it's not necessarily met, or the people that you least expect to kind of show support, because that tends to be what happens in life, people that you least expect to show support are doing the most. It can teach you some things. So looking back, what did you take away from that in terms of friendships?
Wow, I learned like a lot. So I felt like I was living in a bubble before this whole wedding prep process. And a bubble where, like, everyone is cool with me. Everyone wants the best for me. Everyone will support me just as I have supported them. But I found that, like, that wasn't the case. Like, everyone pretty much looks out for their own back. Do you know what I mean? Even me last year, I was looking out for my own back. And I found it hard to holler at people.
So guys, that's all for part one of episode 14 with the ever ambitious Dorothy Tamuno. In part two, we hear more from Dorothy on the process of planning a wedding. What can the season teach us about friendship and even ourselves? Sharing intimately, we talk about Dorothy's upbringing and the impact that her father being absent had on her outlook on relationships. Finally, we talk about the process of waiting and why the wait simply cannot be skipped. So make sure to stay tuned for part two. For now, if you've enjoyed this episode, please do rate the podcast, share your thoughts online at Deborah Chosen and at Trust in the Process Pod on Instagram. And until next time, remember to keep trusting the process, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye.